I love encouragement. This is a super encouraging verse for me. When I seen this come up on the schedule, we had studied this some time back, and I just get encouraged by verses like this. And we all love stories of victory, don't we? By the way, that's our verse. These things that I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we all love stories of victory. You know, if you're like me, an old movie bum, I love to watch, like, Miracle about the USA hockey team, how the hockey team overcomes and wins. You know, this victory, it just fires you up. This movie here, Lord of the Rings, I don't know if you guys seen this, but Aragorn was going off in the battle against Saruman, and he gave him a big encouraging speech about this day mankind will not be doomed. We will win. We will fight. We will win. And we know the story of Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. And that encouraging story, and how Joseph won. He actually, you know, saved the nation of Israel. And Daniel and Goliath, the stories like that, where, you know, he is victorious over Goliath, and not by his strength, but by the strength given to him from God. So we see, if you turn over in your Bibles to John 16:33, we're going to take 5 points out of this verse. We're going to break it down, exegesis, and we're going to see some important points in this verse. So follow along with me in your handout. There's going to be your point on top and then the line as well. The first thing we see is the presentation of the upper room discourse. The presentation of the upper room discourse. The first words we see there are... these things that I have spoken unto you. If you see in the beginning of the verse, so what's he talking about here? And what he's talking about is the whole upper room discourse from chapter 13 on, where these new truths, these new revelations were revealed to the disciples. We see in John 13:34, the first new truth that was revealed was a new commandment he gave them, to love one another as I have loved you. And the purpose of this was in verse 35, so that all will know that you are my disciples, because you love one another. Another truth was in John 14, verses 1 and 2, the first talk of a rapture. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Jesus makes this promise. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And then in John 14, verses 16 and 17, he talks about giving the Comforter as well. That's the first time we heard about the Holy Spirit being given. Also in 16:13, the talk of the Comforter. And then in 16:24, he also reveals that truth of praying in my name. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I give you. So then that was this verse is a summary of the upper room discourse, and this is some of the things that were included in that. So we got the presentation. And then next we have the position. We see therefore, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, we see this position in me. You know, the previous chapter, verse chapter 15, we're all familiar with the vine and abiding in the vine. The important thing that the disciples were taught is if they abide in me, that they'll have the blessings of the Spirit because of that. We learned also that we can do nothing unless we abide in the vine. And this is part of our position in me, is abiding in that vine. As believers in Jesus Christ, you know that we are His. We're His forever. And I think I got this on a slide. Romans 6:3 says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, because we are in him, we are buried in him through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we. So that's our identification. We were baptized into this death with Jesus Christ. And our memory verse from last month as well. This is identification verse, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So we're in Christ. When we place our faith alone in Jesus Christ for salvation, we're in Christ. The life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's our identification. And the phrase in me is also talks about a place of a position that is fixed eternally. No, we can't. I moved it up too far. No, sorry. It can't be moved down. I'll try next time to keep her down a little bit further. But this position is a place of, it is an eternal position. Ephesians 1:13, we talk about eternal security, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed, you placed your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. At that point in time when we trust Christ our Savior, we're born again, and we're sealed with his Holy Spirit of promise, who is our guarantee. It's an absolute guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of this purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So it's a guaranteed, it's a fixed position in him. There's no way we can get out of God's hand. The third point is our possession is peace when we abide with him. Our possession is peace when we abide with him. The word peace there means to is a quietness or a rest. It's a place of comfort. We see in John 16:33 that you may have peace. These things that I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. So it's interesting to note here in that context is the words you may have peace. We'll get to that in a second, but peace defined, I've seen this from George Morrison, I really liked it. The possession of adequate resources is what peace is. In Jesus Christ, we have all the resources we need. But peace also depends on our appropriate relationships, because spiritual resources depend on spiritual relationships. In me is the key. Abiding in me. In ourselves, we can do nothing. But in Christ, we have all that we need. That was really neat for me. So in me you may have peace. John 14:27, just a few pages back, said, peace I leave with you and peace I give to you, not as the world gives you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. So peace is very important. But what's interesting about this here, like I said, that you may have peace. You know, we can choose whether or not to abide in him. We have this volition. We can choose to go off carnal. We know that a carnal mind is enmity with Christ, but if we're not abiding with Christ, we're not going to enjoy that perfect peace, are we? It's not going to change our eternal destiny, but we're not going to enjoy that peace. Turn over your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. This word peace means rest as well. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 is talking about spiritual rest. If I can get over there. Hebrews chapter 4, we see it in verse 1. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, the promise is that he gives us rest if we abide in him. And you notice that it's his rest. It's not our rest. It's his rest. He says, lest us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. People that choose not to enter into that rest. Verse 2, for indeed the gospel, this gospel here we're talking about is the gospel of faith rest. It's not the gospel of your justification, but it's the gospel of faith rest, was preached to us as well as to them. Them meaning the Exodus generation. But the word which they did hear did not profit them. Why didn't it profit them? Because it was not being mixed with faith. They didn't believe. So they didn't enter into this faith rest that we can enter into. So that's important to know and understand that this is a volition, this is a choice to enjoy this peace with God by simply trusting in him and walking by faith in this relationship with God. Next we have the profession. The number four, the profession. The profession, Jesus Christ said that we will have tribulation in this world. You know, it struck me so funny is that under the law, the nation of Israel, they were blessed when they obeyed, but when they disobeyed, they were cursed. So when they were being cursed, they were being chastised, five cycles of discipline, but here under grace, we're told by Jesus Christ that we're going to have tribulation. We are going to have tribulation in this world. It's guaranteed. It's not maybe going to happen. It's for sure going to happen. And this tribulation can come from different things. I mean, Kyle could have experienced severe tribulation if his friend wouldn't have reacted that way. So it could come from making a stand for Jesus Christ and giving out the gospel message. We can suffer tribulation. It could be just life's daily grind, what we go through every single day. Or making bad decisions that last a lifetime. It can be tribulation. It could be we're living under the curse, or our body is that. The word tribulation here, or first of all, the word in this world, the world is the cosmos, it's the world system. And the word tribulation here is an anthropos word. It means it doesn't have a definite article, so it's designed to point out the quality of the word. The word is theopispis, and it means to crush, it means to press, it means to compress, it to squeeze, to break. So it's affliction, it's a pressuring word is what it is. And this word is used also, the same word is used for the great tribulation in the future. It's not just tribulation, it's a great tribulation that's coming in the future. But right now, we're going to have tribulation in our lives. But we know from Romans chapter 1, or Romans chapter 5, I should say, verses 3, that we should glory in our tribulation, know that tribulation produces perseverance. So we know that. So we are going to have tribulation in this world. So don't feel like you're not special if you're not having tribulation in your life, because you're going to have it. Tribulation. The next point we see is our posture. Our posture in this tribulation, in this lifetime, we can have a posture as children of God, of good cheer, that we trust in God for our daily needs. We can have a different posture because we know by faith that the end result of all this. We can have a posture of humility and to make the corrections of our life if needed, or lay these tribulations, these trials at the throne, at the cross, and give them to the Lord. You know, this word good cheer here is, good is a present imperative action, meaning it involves a repeated action again and again and again and again. It's in the active voice, that means it's being accomplished by the subject of the verb. So that's us, again, 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 this good cheer. Cheer is a word, therazo, it means to have boldness, courage, and it also means comfort. Comfort. We see this word in a lot of verses from the book of John, and we see it in Revelation as well, but in Acts 23, but the following night the Lord stood by Paul and said, be of good cheer. Paul, as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness for me in Rome. He was encouraging him, be of good cheer. So our posture stems from our position. So we should have the utmost courage in life, because when we know what our position is in Christ, our posture should reflect that. Good cheer. And we see lastly the promise here in this verse. And this is just so encouraging in this verse. The promise that Jesus Christ makes us, that you have, that He has overcome the world, and with Him we are co-conquerors. We are, when we're in Christ, He conquers, we conquer. We're co-conquerors. We see that if you turn in your Bibles over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. He who overcomes the world, who is he who overcomes the world? But he who does what? Who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The person that places his faith in Jesus Christ alone is an overcomer. And we're overcomers in Christ. Aside from Jesus Christ, we're not overcomers of anything, are we? I'm sure you guys can probably relate to that. But in Jesus Christ, we're overcomers. And so that's very encouraging. And I like these verses in Romans 8:35. Pastor had them on Sunday too. And who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can tribulation, we know we're going to go through tribulation and distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. That is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So we are conquerors because of Jesus Christ, our position in him. So that's our memory verse for the week. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we can look at your word. We're so thankful for these encouraging verses in your word that just uplift our soul. And we're so thankful for our position in Christ. And we're so thankful that Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross and died and paid for our sins. And our simple faith in what he did for us, we have everlasting life. And we become co-overcomers. We are co-buried, co-crucified, co-risen again. And we're just so thankful for that position. And Lord, we're thankful that we can have a posture of good cheer because of that position. And we can go through these trials and tribulations in life knowing that you got our back. In the end, we win no matter what, Lord. And we're just so thankful for that. Thankful for that encouragement. We pray that we would keep our head up in these trials and tribulations and know that you're in control and you're in charge. And we just thank you for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.